text of Scripture that I want us to consider tonight in our gospel meeting are the final words there of verse number 37 of John chapter 7. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Our text really is one of the great sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it has been said by one of old, such are the importance of these words that they really deserve to be written in letters of gold. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he speak these words in Jerusalem towards the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was one of the great annual feasts whenever the Jews came up from around the land to Jerusalem in accordance with Jewish law to worship the Lord. And this Feast of Tabernacles was really a memorial to the Jewish people of God's goodness and God's protection to ancient Israel as they traveled through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Verse 37 there before us says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And why, as Christ views the people soon to leave Jerusalem and soon to make their homeward journey, he sees multitudes of people who have no true peace. He sees multitudes of people who have no true satisfaction in their hearts and minds. He sees multitudes of people who have no rest in their heart and in their soul. Yes, he sees a people who had no true spiritual food for their souls and for their hearts. Rather, he sees a people going home who are empty. Empty with but the remembrance of religious ritual and form. Empty with but the husk of religious formality. You see, this was the effect of religious teachers and indeed Pharisees who were themselves spiritually dead and were spiritually blind in their sins. And my, this was but the effect of dead formal religion. And it is against this particular backdrop that Christ utters the words of our text. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And with these words here before us, he invites people to come to him that day, the last day of the feast. He invites them to come to him to have the spiritual need of their hearts and their souls met by him who is the Lord. Why did he give this invitation? Because he himself is the eternal Son of God. He himself is the Messiah. He himself is the only appointed Savior of mankind. Hence, he says to the people that day, as he views them in their great need, he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And people, can I say tonight, over 2,000 years later, yes, the Lord, the same Lord, he is still inviting, he is still calling people to come unto himself for salvation. Yes, as the Lord looks upon our meeting and upon our gathering here tonight in Enniskillen, yes, the Lord is one who sees the desperate need of all our hearts. And in doing so, he, the Son of God, he, the Savior of sinners, he calls each one of us to himself for salvation. Yes, he invites you and I in this meeting tonight, whoever we are, whatever our background is, he invites you and I to come to him and have the needs of our heart, to have the needs of our soul met by him who is the Lord of glory. Yes, the Lord's message to every one of us in this gathering tonight is summed up in those words there in the middle of our text. "Come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me." This is the Lord's call. This is the Lord's invitation in the gospel to every single one of us in this gospel meeting here tonight. And as we look at this great invitation before us, there are a number of things I want just to set before you. You'll notice, first of all, here with me that this invitation, it reveals a sad condition. It reveals a sad condition. For Jesus says, if any man thirst, think of that word thirst. Thirst is an awful thing. Thirst is something that causes terrible pain. It has been said, such is the awfulness of the pain of thirst, that the chief desire of soldiers who are wounded in battle is to have their thirst quenched and their thirst slaked. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, there the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about a certain rich man in hell. And we were told that he was tormented because of his thirst in the lake of fire, his thirst in the flames of hell. It says in Luke 16 that he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Such was his thirst, such was the pain of his thirst in hell. He asked but a drop of water to touch his tongue, to quench that thirst. Now when Christ here in our text, when he speaks of those who thirst, he is speaking here in particular of those who are concerned about being saved from their sin in hell. He's speaking here about those who are concerned about their soul. He is referring here to those who are longing for a right relationship with God. He is speaking here of those who are longing for peace with God in their heart and in their soul. Now, this was indeed the case with certain Jews on the day of Pentecost who heard the preaching of the Apostle Peter. For whenever Peter preached to them the gospel, they said these. It says these words, it says, then they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, what shall we do? You see, there was a concern in their heart. There was a thirst in their soul when they heard the gospel to get right with God. We can say also tonight that the Philippian jailer had the same thirst. In recent days, we've seen the awful catastrophe out in Turkey and Syria, when people's worlds have been turned literally upside down by a massive earthquake. Well, that's how it was for the Philippian jailer. God sent an earthquake into his life, into his situation, and turned his world literally upside down. And he had a concern in his heart that he had not prior to that event. And he cried out to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, there was now a thirst, a longing in his heart for a right relationship with God as Maker. If you turn in your Bible back to the book of Job, the Old Testament book of Job, Job chapter 33, Job chapter 33. If you go down to verse 27 and verse 28 of that chapter, here we see how the Lord looks upon men. He looks upon mankind, and he looks upon men and women and young people for a particular purpose, and it is this: to see if there's any concern in their heart, any concern in their soul about salvation and a right relationship with God himself. Look at Job chapter 33, verse 27 and the verse 28. It says of the Lord, he looketh upon men. Think about that. God looks down from heaven upon men. And he looketh upon men, if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he shall deliver his soul from going down into the pit, and his life shall see the light. There we see how God looks upon mankind. He looks upon men, women, young people. He looks upon our hearts to see if there's any concern in our hearts and souls for him and for the things of God, and any concern about our sin and about our right relationship with him. Friend, let me ask you in this meeting tonight, how is it with you? Do you know anything about this thirst that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to and spake of in our text those many years ago? Have you ever had a concern in your soul regarding your need of salvation? Have you ever had a concern in your heart regarding your need of pardon for sin, forgiveness of sin, and peace with God? Has there ever been a concern in your soul about the assurance of a home in heaven and of being ready to die and been ready for heaven after this life, after this world, after this scene of time? You might say, well, why do you ask those questions? Well, we ask those questions because those things are really the marks of all who are saved, of all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yes, they have been those who are concerned about their soul, concerned about their sin, have a concern about being sure of heaven. That's how it was with the publican of old that Christ tells us about in Luke's Gospel 18 when he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That man was despised by the world, but he was wise in his heart. He had a concern in his soul, a concern about his sin, a concern about a right relationship with God and heaven, God his maker. Tell me tonight, friend, in our meeting tonight, do you know anything about that concern and about this thirst that Christ speaks of and refers to in our text this evening? Or perhaps it's the case you're like that man that Christ tells us about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. There we read of a certain man, and he was only concerned about material things, the temporal things of life, the physical things of life, and God called him a fool. And God spoke to him, and he said these words. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He was not concerned about his soul. He was only concerned about material things in the sight of God. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you're only concerned about material things, temporal things, material possessions, and have no concern for salvation, no concern for the spiritual well-being of your soul, then I must say to you tonight that you're the devil's fool. Yes, your heart is blind, yes, to the things that are truly important, truly vital in life. Think of the words of Christ, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Friend, the thing that is important tonight is your soul. The things of this world are temporal, they're transitory, they're fleeting, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. But you have a soul that is eternal, a soul that is immortal, a soul that will never die. And the all-important issue is this, that your soul is saved, that you're ready to die, that you're ready to meet God your Maker. Yes, this invitation, it reveals a sad condition, the thirst of the soul, the needy heart, the needy soul. Is that how it is with you in this meeting tonight? Concerned about your heart? Concerned about your soul? Concerned about your sin? Concerned about your relationship with God? Concerned about being ready for eternity? But not only do we see a sad condition in this invitation, you'll see in the second place that this invitation, it reveals to us a glorious remedy. There's no remedy like this remedy. You look again at what Christ says in our text. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And there you see that the glorious remedy of salvation for poor and needy sinners, it centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Christ says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And the emphasis there is upon Christ using that word, me, and in reference to himself. You see, as Christ addresses these people on that occasion, as they were leaving the Feast of the Tabernacles, he was telling them, yes, they'd had their religion, that had their formality of worship and all the rest. But he was telling them that he alone was the one who could meet the need of their hearts. Their hearts were empty. Their hearts were barren. Their hearts had no fruit unto God and salvation, but he tells them, I am the one. Me, the Son of God, is the one who can meet you at the point of your need. He says, I am the one that can meet the need of your heart, your soul, your life. And he alone, yes, was the only one that could give them salvation. He is the only one that could give them salvation from sin. He was the only one who could give them peace with God. He was the only one that could give them a home in heaven and the assurance of everlasting life when they came to leave this world and this scene of time. And dear people, that is the message of the Bible. That's the gospel. Speaking of Christ in Acts 4, verse 12, Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You look at the earthly life of Christ. Look at his record of his ministry and his life in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And you'll see that this was the message that Christ himself was constantly and continually proclaiming and affirming here and there, even though he had much opposition. Even though wherever he went, there were those that rose up and opposed him and opposed his ministry and opposed his preaching. But wherever he went, he set before them this great truth that he and he alone was the one who could meet them at the point of their need. You turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse number 35. Look at what he says there. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Turn over a little bit further to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse number 12. Look again at what he says in that verse. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Turn over again to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and the verse number 9. Look at that great statement. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Turn over to the next chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 11. Look at his great words there in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Then turn over a little bit further to John's Gospel in the chapter 14. Look at those well-known words in verse 6 of that same chapter when he speaks in response to a question put to him by Thomas. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that was really the tenor of Christ's ministry. He made it very clear and plain to the people, to all whom he met with, whoever they were, Jew or Gentile, that he and he alone, he and no one else, could meet the need of the heart and meet the need of the soul. And that's really the tenor of his message here in our text tonight. And he says to these people as they leave the Feast of the Tabernacles, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And dear people, can I say to you tonight, as it was in the Savior's day, so it is still the same tonight. Christ is still the only Savior of sinful man. He is the only one who can do helpless and hopeless sinners good. People's salvation from sin and a right relationship with God is not found in the Pope, no. Every Pope is an Antichrist. Recently we'd seen the death of Pope Benedict, and all across the world, in the political arena and the religious arena, he was lauded and he was applauded. Pope Benedict was an antichrist. The present Pope Francis is also an antichrist. Why? Because they put themselves in the place of God. They put themselves in the place of Christ. Can we say also tonight that salvation is not found in the Blessed Virgin Mary? She was a blessed woman, a most godly woman, a most humble woman, but she was not the Savior of sinners. She herself spoke of Christ and says, my soul have rejoiced in my God and Savior. She rejoiced in Christ as her Savior. Salvation is not found in the minister, whoever that minister is. Salvation is not found in the preacher or in the evangelist, no matter who that evangelist is. It's not found in the priest, not found in the pastor, not found in the church, whatever that church is. Salvation is not in Muhammad of the Islamic religion. Salvation is not in Joseph Smith of the Mormon religion. Salvation is not in Charles Russell of the Jehovah Witness movement. Salvation is not in Joseph Kony of the Konyite movement. No. It is not in any rite or ceremony of men. No. Salvation's not in baptism, it's not in confirmation, not in catechism, not in dedication. Salvation is in Christ alone, and no one else, but in Christ alone and in none other. Turning your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And look at the very words of the Lord there in verse number 22. Isaiah 45 and the verse number 22. The Lord here is speaking, and he says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." He says, "Look unto me. There's no one else but me," he says. And people, tonight, the gospel message is this, that Christ is the only Savior. Why? Because he came to this world as the sinless Son of God. In coming to this world, he went willingly in an errand of mercy to the cross of Calvary. And upon that cross, he died. He shed his blood. He offered himself without spot to God as a once for all sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 9 verse 26 says of Christ, "But now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And by the shedding of his own blood by his death, he satisfied God's justice. He paid the debt of sin for all God's people. And by that once and only sacrifice, he provided a way of salvation, a way back to God for lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and I in this meeting tonight. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says he came to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. How true are the words of the hymn writer when they speak of Christ and said, "Christ hath for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior." And that was the message that Christ preached that day when he spake here to this people. And he said to them in the midst of all their religion, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And the remedy for sin is still the same tonight, because God's salvation, God's gospel never changes. It was the same back in the book of Genesis. It was the same in the book of the Psalms, the same in the book of Isaiah. And it's the same throughout the New Testament, right to the end of time, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, whatever your need is, I tell you tonight, Christ is one who can meet you at the point of your need. He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is, and he alone is the only remedy for your sin-sick soul. Notice one final thing in this great invitation tonight. You'll see that this invitation reveals a far-reaching offer. You look again at what Christ says. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Notice those two words, "any man." And speaking to the people that day, Christ promised to save any one of them, whoever they were, who would come to him for salvation. No one would be turned away. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You turn back again to John's Gospel, chapter 6, back a little bit to chapter 6 and the verse 37. Here you have a similar promise. Look at the final part of verse 37 of John chapter 6. Christ here is speaking. He says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And people, can I say this great promise is a promise that still stands tonight. Why do I say it? Because God's word does not change. It is forever settled in heaven. You think of those words in our text tonight. Any man, a dear friend in the meeting tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your sin is or has been, you are invited. You are invited to come to Christ for salvation. Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And all through the Bible, yes, down throughout the years of time, there have been multitudes, and they have heeded that invitation. And they have sought the Lord for salvation, and they have not been disappointed. The Lord has not turned them away, no. Likewise, dear friend, it'll be the same for you if you seek him. Even if you seek him tonight for your soul's salvation. In our text, Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." To come unto Christ, it means to come to him just as you are, a poor and needy sinner. To come to him by faith as a repentant sinner, confessing your need as a lost sinner before God. It means you calling upon the Lord by faith to save you from your sins. It means you trusting in the sacrifice, in the merit of Christ's atoning blood to wash away your sins and to give you peace with God and acceptance with God. As we were singing about earlier on in one of our hymns, "Saved through Jesus' blood." That is how it was with the Apostle Peter. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see here what Peter says about Christ. This is really a statement of his own faith in the Lord. Look at verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what he says of Christ. He says of Christ, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Peter knew and he believed that Christ died for his sins, for his iniquities, for his transgressions upon the cross. That Christ died to be his substitute upon the cross. Go over to the next chapter, chapter 3 and verse 18. Notice again what Peter says about Christ. He says, "For Christ also of once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And there you see that Peter's faith, his trust was in Christ to bring him to God, to bring him nigh to God, to bring him into a right relationship with God. He wasn't depending on his religion. He wasn't depending on his name or his good works. No, he was depending upon Christ, depending on the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Friend, in our meeting tonight, can I say this is how it must be with you also, if you are to be saved. You see, the hymn writer says, "I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God." Oh, dear friend, may this be your testimony also when you trust Christ as Savior. Praise God, he will meet the need of your heart. He will meet the need of your soul. Look again at what Christ says in our text. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me," notice it, "and drink." That speaks of the Lord meeting the entire need of your soul for time and all of eternity. You see, through faith in him, God will pardon all your sins. The Lord's great promise to those who trust him is that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God, through Christ, will grant you peace with himself. Colossians 1 verse 20 says this, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." You can know peace with God through Christ your Maker. My Christ will grant you grace. Grace to serve him. Grace to witness for him. Grace to live for his honor and glory. The Bible says of Christ, and of his fullness of all we received, grace for grace. And then by his Holy Spirit in your heart, God will bless you. Not only bless you as an individual, but he will make you a blessing to others when you trust him. Look again at the words of Christ that follow on from our text in this passage. In John chapter 7, verse 38, he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." You see, when the Lord saves you, he blesses you. Not only does he bless you, he makes you a blessing to others. In your home, in your workplace, in your community, wherever you are, wherever you're led and guided by the providence of God, God will bless you, make you a blessing to others. The Lord also will afford you a place in heaven forevermore. Think of those great words in John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And through faith in Christ, you can be saved and ready for heaven and sure of heaven. And that's what the Lord meant here that day when he spoke to these people, multitudes of people whom he looked upon in love, he looked upon in grace, he looked upon in mercy. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And praise God, when you come unto Christ and trust him as Savior, you're ready. You're ready to worship God. You're ready to serve God on earth. You're ready to meet God on the day of judgment. You're ready to die. You're ready for the second coming of the Lord. You're ready for heaven. You're ready for glory. Oh, if you're not saved tonight in this meeting, I urge you to heed these words of invitation. Heed this call of the Lord and the gospel. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Don't go away without the Lord, saying, "Oh, that's for somebody else." Friend, if you're unsaved tonight, God's word says, come unto Christ. Trust him. Call upon him for salvation. And oh, the blessed joy of God's salvation, sins forgiven, blotted out through the blood of the Lamb. Know what it is to be saved by God's grace for time and for all God's eternity to come. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 701 in your hymn book, 701 in the page number 459. "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today tenderly saying, come." 701 in the page 459. We'll stand as we sing. Let us stand as we sing. just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one here tonight and there's a concern in your soul about your need of salvation, I urge you tonight to come to the Lord to seek Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ alone, who is able to save to the very uttermost. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence with us here in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for help given in the proclamation of Your Word. We thank Thee for these great words of invitation from Christ. If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. We thank the Lord for all in this meeting tonight who have heeded that invitation, who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But Lord, should there be any in this gathering or any listening in online and they've never heeded that invitation, O Lord, disturb the sleep of death in their soul. And O Lord, even tonight may they close in with Christ and trust Him whom to know is life eternal. Give believing faith and deciding grace to this end, we pray. Take us now to our separate homes in safety. Journey with us and keep Your hand upon us all for good, Lord, in this week that lies before us. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen.